Crude oil is crude. Natural gas is pure. That's why Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas, not crude. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30.
Today's opening tip, here's Kawhi Leonard on the bench last night with some very high-tech knee pads. Scotty, should Kawhi try to hide being the Terminator?
No, at least a little bit. You can't hide it. He's the Terminator. Why are you going to hide it?
Let it be.
Nick, you ever seen anything like that?
No, but we've never seen anything like him.
So that's a good point.
Just let it fly.
Hey, man. That thing is scary. Yeah. Like, I'm waiting for his face just to come off and we're just going to see circuits and stuff like that. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Amino Hassan. I'm in for Rachel Nichols. Today, I'm joined by Warriors insider Nick Friedell and six-time NBA champion, of course, Hall of Famer, Scottie Pippen. What's up, guys?
Hey, great.
I'm excited for this one. Coming up, Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson, co-hosts of the Knuckleheads podcast, are joining the show. We'll talk old Clippers, we'll talk new Clippers with them, and much more. But first, it should come as no shock to anyone that the Western Conference is once again more competitive than the East this year. It's pretty much boilerplate at this point. Getting into the West playoffs is always a dicier proposition than it is for the Eastern Conference hopefuls, like trying to get into a super exclusive nightclub. The threshold to get in the past 2 years, I mean just get in, has been 47 and 48 wins respectively. It's like needing two forms of ID and a cosign just to get in the club. However, this year is a bit different. Rather than being hard to get in because of exclusivity, this year's Western playoff race is highlighted by the sheer number of contestants. It's like that super exclusive nightclub has now become a popular dive bar with no velvet ropes and no line, just a mass of people trying to get in. You know that whole you stand on your tiptoes and look around thing. Which brings us to the New Orleans Pelicans. Exactly 1 month ago, the Pelicans had lost their 13th consecutive game. The news on top overall pick Zion Williamson was, despite being at the outer edge of the expected recovery time from meniscus surgery, there was still no timetable for his return. There were even questions by the pundits on whether head coach Alvin Gentry would finish the season. People asked if Zion would be shut down for the year, with the Pelicans be headed back to Secaucus for another lottery show appearance. Through it all, they didn't panic, they didn't throw in the towel, and they kept grinding. And the perseverance has paid off. Pelicans have won 10 of their last 14 games since that 13-game losing streak, outscoring opponents by 3.7 points per 100 possessions, and pulling within 3.5 games of current 8-seed occupant Memphis. They've done it behind the sensational consistency of Brandon Ingram, who's made his strong case for All-Star bid, averaging 26 a game on a sizzling 60-plus percentage points in true shooting percentage. Meanwhile, his fellow former Laker Lonzo Ball has put together his strongest stretch of the season, averaging 14-7-7 in this 14-game stretch. But the biggest piece of news of all this week, the imminent return of Zion Williamson, with Pelicans Executive VP of Basketball Ops David Griffin confirming that we expect to see him in uniform and on the court next week against San Antonio on ESPN. For the Pelicans, this is like fighting to get in the dive bar and then having your buddy who's best friends with the bouncer help you cut through the crowd, walk right in. Hopefully they remember to bring ID. So, Scotty, Pelicans are targeting Wednesday for Zion's debut. That game has now been moved to ESPN, as I said. Do you think the Pelicans are legit playoff contenders if he returns?
I would say right now they're playing hard for that spot. They are. I think Zion coming back is going to give this team more energy in the second half. The way Brandon Ingram is playing right now, I expect that to continue. So I do expect them to sneak in. I think they got a lot of pieces from the Lakers that are going to help them be a team that can contend. And with the merging of Brandon Ingram, I mean, they're playing good basketball. The best I've seen them play in a while.
I'm with Scotty completely. The momentum that Zion's presence will give them on the floor is gigantic. They've all been waiting for it, like fans, knowing how talented he is. But, guys, you hit on it. I mean, Alvin Gentry deserves a ton of credit. Because so many people were writing this team off. They were writing him off. And everybody was sitting there going, the Pelicans aren't ready. They're going to fold this year. Kick it for next year, let's see what happens. Gentry kept them together, and to the credit to the guys in that locker room, the only way you continue to play and play as well as they have lately is if you respect the coach who's giving you the orders night to night. So everybody involved came together. You get Zion by absolutely, I believe, they're going to find a way in the end.
So let me ask you this, Scotty, because they've had a lot of injuries. Consistency with the lineups has been an issue for them. One of the most consistent people, as I said, is Brandon Ingram. He's been tremendous. in your eyes, is he an all-star this year?
For sure. For sure. I mean, he's been playing all-star basketball. He's putting up the numbers.
Right.
49 points last night. And to be honest, Avan Gentry has given him the green light, and he is the guy that really got the Pelicans playing. They're playing with a lot of confidence, and I think it's because of Brandon Ingram. The fact that he can score the basketball, and he's proven that he is a consistent scorer night in and night out. This is not the guy that was with the Lakers.
Right.
This guy is an all-star now.
So, Nick, let me ask you this. Zion in the preseason averaged 23 points on 71% field goal shooting. We don't expect him to come out and do the same thing because it's regular season versus preseason, and also he's coming off an injury. But how well does he have to play, do you think, for the Pelicans to have a realistic chance at making the playoffs?
He's got to play pretty well, but we got to keep this in mind. He's going to be on limited minutes.
Right.
They're going to watch him very, very closely. I wouldn't expect more than 20 or 25 to start. As long as he's playing at a high level and drawing attention, it goes back to Ingram. Ingram right now is the star, guys, that the Lakers wanted him to be.
Right.
He's the guy that the Lakers thought he could turn into over time. He is that guy for the Pelicans right now. So as long as he leads the way, Zion can find his own rhythm. I don't think there's too much pressure on him to come in right away and start dominating like we saw at times in the preseason.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be a player that he's going to have to find his space right in the game right now. He hasn't proven yet to really be a scorer in the game because he hasn't been on the court. So he's going to have to piggyback a lot off of what Brandon Ingram is doing. And I think for him, it's going to be important for him to get himself going, rebounding the ball, get on the offensive boards. Mm-hmm. That's where he can help this Pelican team.
Yeah, to me, it's his energy. You know, that was a big thing in the preseason for a big guy. Usually big guys, you run up and down a couple of times. They don't get you the ball. They start playing a little slower.
Man.
He runs so hard. He commands so much attention that it makes defenses react. And so he may not even get a touch or the numbers, but it makes the game easier for everyone else because of the attention he draws. By the way, this is a schedule we're looking at, their upcoming opponents. There's some very winnable games on that schedule right there. This is the time I guess they would make some ground if they're going to make a push, and him coming back couldn't come at a better time. All right, moving on. Kyrie Irving took some flack yesterday for comments on the Nets needing more help and naming individual players as members of the Nets core while omitting others. Today, Kyrie said he talked to his teammates to clarify those remarks, but he also responded to the critics. Take a listen.
That's a deeper dive, man. I think that it's just probably a telltale sign of the career that I've had. Some of the moves that I made individually, and then as well as coming to different environments and organizations. You know, at the end of the day, I always say it's an entertainment league. You know, we're very drama filled. Everything regurgitates on all these media platforms, which is part of our society. I can't really do anything about it. Except really be a pillar in our locker room, be very communicative, and when I'm out there with the guys, just impact winning. You know, that's really what it comes down to. You know, it's not like I'm a whole yelling at everybody in the freaking locker room all the time, and you hear all these stories. You know, and at the end of the day, my name, it was given to me by my grandfather. I'm very grateful, but it's in a lot of people's mouths all the time, and it is what it is. I've earned that respect in terms of how great I am as a player, and there's still more goals I want to accomplish in this league, and I can't do it without improving an organization and winning a championship, and that's what it comes down to. So I'm going to continue to push. I'm going to continue to demand greatness out of myself and demand greatness out of my teammates, and we go from there. If it's harsh as a leader or it's too much for anybody, you're not in our locker room. Stay the f*** out.
Touchy.
Yeah.
Scotty, what was your reaction to that?
You know what? To me, it's been a struggle for Kyrie to be a leader, to be the person that sort of takes the leadership and to lead the team. He struggled a little bit with that. We saw it in Boston, and I think we're seeing a little bit of it here in Brooklyn. When you're on the court and you can play, your play can answer a lot of the critics.
Right.
But when you're not on the court, you're not playing, and you're still running your mouth, and you're not showing great leadership throughout that organization, then people are going to say things about him. And I think Kyrie has to become a bigger man, accept criticism, but he has to also become a better leader for his basketball team.
Scotty, to that point, why is it so difficult sometimes for younger players to go from being a great player to a great leader over time?
Well, it's tough because not all great players can be great leaders. Some players can play hard and lead by example, but when it comes to open up your mouth and talking to your teammates and leading in that way. Some players just don't have that. That's a talent. And some guys just don't have that talent. They have the talent to be great, but they don't have the talent to bring players together and make a team great.
Do you think he has that talent?
I think he's got a lot of talent. He's yet to show it.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference between what you described and also being it. You could be a tremendous basketball player, but just not have that last
qualities
part
to lead a team.
And to me, that's not a knock. That's just reality. We all bring different things to the table. So when you're building a roster, you want to make sure all those pieces fit. So I know I got to have someone who brings that part because he does it.
And it helps, you know. You look at some of the great teams and how they match up. Every great player brings something great, but that second player brings something different. And that third player, if he's a leader, brings something different. So there's all different type of qualities that great players bring. LeBron brought great leadership, and Kyrie was a great sort of scorer, closer, if you want to call him that. But does he have the leadership to lead a team now and be that scorer and that closer? I don't know if it works together.
All right, coming up, do you think we'll see Klay Thompson on the court this season? We'll ask our insider who's right here. But first, it's time for our distant replay from this day in 2001. I can read the prompter, so I know it's not Vince Carter. It's the Smurf Show.
With him in the game down this late.
Oh, yeah. Throw it up. Let him throw it up.
Smurf Show.
Throw it up. Where's the sign?
Oh.
He used to do the Smurf Show sign. That's the favorite part about it.
That must have been his first dog.
This week on The Neighborhood.
Well, someone over there right away.
Jay, you okay? You copy my outfit?
You copy my outfit?
I wish I did. I took a mental photo of your outfit. Filed it under gorgeous.
I wish you were even taller so I could see more of your outfit. It's beautiful.
Calling optometrist. Your beauty is blinding.
I refuse to blink. It would take a moment away from witnessing your amazing outfit.
Guys?
Tune into the NBA on ABC.
It's a make or miss lead.
It's a make or miss lead.
I don't know, man.
Make?
Miss.
It's a make or miss lead.
What don't you know, Kyle Korver? Come on. Make precision. Suns and Knicks check out this long-range lob from Ricky Rubio to DeAndre Ayton. Nick, is Ricky the best lob throw we have in the game right now?
Right now, yeah. I'd take Rubio. That is pretty damn impressive, and I've seen it over and over from him.
Man. Scotty.
I say depending on who's receiving.
There you go. There you go.
You can't make a bad pass when you're passing Anthony Davis. Just throwing that out there.
Throw it anywhere. He get it. All right. Miss dribbling. Crunch time in San Francisco. And Nikola Jokic looks like he might have gotten away with a little bit of a double dribble. Scotty, this is the worst double dribble since when?
Oh, man.
Is that
it? I got no words for that.
Oh, wait. Let's we got some the best of. Yo, no, come on. Come on now. And they didn't call it? They didn't call Amir Johnson? Come on, man.
Your man Steve Kerr had some words for that last night.
Oh, yeah?
We can't really play him back on TV, though.
Oh, man.
Steph got away with it so bad he was laughing. Oh, wow. Kyrie, yeah, that's a good one, too. Nice two hands on the ball. But no, Jokic right here, come on, man.
That was bad.
Come on.
Maybe they don't call dribbling in the league no more.
What are they looking at? And whenever these bad things happen, what are the refs looking at? All right, make. Did I hit the knot? All right, Donovan Mitchell dropped 46 last night in a loss against the Pelicans and had a few nasty snatchbacks. Pip, how would you have defended this?
Fouling. They say you don't foul a jump shooter, but you got to foul a guy if he do this to you.
Oh, man. Like, Nick,
snap back.
You got to wrap him up?
Oh, absolutely. Mitchell, he is a superstar now. Has he taken that step?
Is he an all-star?
He's getting close. Not quite yet.
Not quite.
Still too many good players left in the West.
It is.
I'm sorry.
It's going to be tough for those coaches. Not so tough for the media. All right. Miss Hands. Tommy Thompson of the San Jose Earthquake played horse inside Chase Center and kicked in this ridiculous over-the-backboard shot. Guys, how many times would it take you to hit this? Let me start with you, Nick, because you look like you played soccer growing up.
Infinity. I played soccer growing up.
He's from Orlando.
That doesn't mean I am ever hitting that shot in my life. They called me Nick the Pick for a reason. I mean,
yeah.
Come on.
At least a billion times.
At least a billion? I don't know, man. I feel like I could do it.
No.
I feel like give me 10 tries. I think I can get it done.
No.
Come on. Positivity. Make sadness. Chris Haynes of Yahoo reports that Ja Morant will not participate in the slam dunk contest because, get this, he wants to stay healthy for the rest of the season. Nick, are you as bummed about this as I am?
Yeah, because this is a showcase for a lot of young players through the years. I would have loved to have seen it as a fan, and I know Ja would have had that Chicago crowd rocking.
You know what? I'm a little disappointed, but I got to respect his decision. Young players go to the All-Star game, have too great of a time, and the second half of the season is just disaster.
I blame the Grizzlies. They're winning too much. You should have been bad, so then he would have absolutely wanted to do it. Now that you're winning in the playoff contention, of course he's going to try and rest and be healthy and do the smart thing. All right, let's get to that Nuggets-Warriors game from last night. Nuggets pulled off a 3-point win in overtime, and Michael Porter Jr. was a huge contributor with 18 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. After the game, Nuggets head coach Michael Malone gave MPJ a full endorsement. Tell us more about that, Nick.
I mean, Michael Malone sat there right afterwards and was like, this guy is a huge part of our future. He knows his role on the team. He knows he's going to be the first sub off the bench every night. But
reading your own tweet.
Yeah, that's right. But what was more impressive to me is that Malone says what he says. You walk in the locker room, those guys were beaming.
Yeah.
Because they know that Porter is the secret weapon. There was all that chatter about where is Denver going to get some more star power from. They know that this kid has all the talent. And when you watch him play last night, the last few weeks, you see a kid who not only knows he has the talent to produce on a high level, he's got the confidence to back it up.
Scotty, let me ask you. He's a rookie. He sat out his whole first year rehabbing that back injury. He played great last night. He's had some other games against Dallas a few days ago where it was not so great. Is it too soon for us to expect these things of him? To kind of like, you got to be our second or third best player?
No, I don't think it's too soon, because even though you're saying he's a rookie, he's really not a rookie because he's been around the NBA game for a while. He's adjusted to the lifestyle. He's adjusted to the travel. He's watched a lot of games right from the sidelines. So this is not surprising me. Players are always hungry and ready to get on the basketball court. They're working harder than the players that are on the court. So this kid has been putting in overtime, triple time, and it's really paid off for him. And I think he was that third piece that the Denver Nuggets needed.
Nick, can you see a scenario where he's starting by the time the playoffs come around?
I think that Michael Malone would love to keep him coming off the bench, but he has the talent. And everybody kind of forgot because he sat so long. Mm-hmm. This kid was right at the top of that draft a couple years ago. So many teams loved him. The medicals came back bad right before. If he comes up and he starts to play even better in the next few months, he's that guy off the bench or in the starting lineup,
so
either way.
MPJ's performance last night was the story of the game. But before the game, we had an even bigger story, perhaps. Klay Thompson was seen warming up in full uniform.
Jackie Moon!
Nick, everybody love everybody. Based on what you've seen being around the team, do you think we'll see Klay on the court sometime this season, Nick?
No, I do not. But there is a chance that it happens because Klay wants back so badly. He has been rehabbing. What we didn't see the last couple months, guys, is the game start. Klay's in the back sometimes getting his work in as the games are going on. Then he comes out to the bench. He desperately wants to be on the floor, but it's an ACL injury. Steve Kerr said it many times. And he noted the other night, I thought was interesting, he's asked Steph and Klay to be around the team a lot more because he wants the younger guys to hear their voice and get to know them personally.
Right.
So you're going to see Steph soon in the next month, 6 weeks, back on the floor. Klay, I'd be a surprise if he plays again this year.
You think he plays?
No, I don't think he is.
You think he should play? How about that?
I don't think he should play.
All right.
I think we all have to recognize that this young man, he's a gym rat. So we're going to be seeing this all the time, him in the gym shooting. But if I'm the Golden State Warriors, I hold him back.
All right. All right, Nick, we're going to say goodbye to you for now, but stick around because we're going to circle back with you in a little bit. Coming up, Darius Miles and Quentin Richardson, co-hosts of the Knucklehead Podcast for Players Tribune, are going to join us to talk about their early 2000 Clippers teams and the Clippers of today. Stay tuned. But first,
they can't shoot over there.
It's time for some straight talk sound bites. Here's Alvin Gentry on the refs last night, trying not to get fined.
What did the officials say at the end of the regulation?
They didn't say anything. They didn't say anything. They didn't say anything.
Okay.
What do you think?
Will you pay the fine? If you'll pay the fine, I'll tell you exactly how I think about it.
So the first question we always really ask everybody is like, when you first got to the league and you played minutes, who's the first person to bust your ass?
Ooh, Nick Van Exel.
Kevin Garnett. Detroit Pistons Grant Hill.
I got dunked on when I was like 11.
Kept saying, you reach, I teach, you reach, I teach.
Carlos Boozer, bro.
Cynthia Cooper.
Ooh, the first person to bust your ass.
I remember Mitch Richmond.
He cucked me.
Bashaun Leonard. Bashaun Leonard. Leonard.
Bashaun Leonard was Bashaun the first Leonard. Person to bust. That's crazy, I see. Thank you.
That's my money. He don't notice, but I was at him.
Like, no rim. You know what I mean? It was like bottoms.
See, you asked that question wrong. It's supposed to be the opposite. Who was the first person that got their ass busted by me? Unfortunately, it was you guys.
What?
Who got that work? I busted y'all ass.
What?
Hold on, no. Jeff McGinnis.
Okay, say that.
Yeah,
say
it was that. Jeff McGinnis, my rookie year.
Okay.
Talking about Jesus. I was Jesus.
Oh, man. Well, y'all missed the Kyrie Calderon one. That's my favorite one. We now welcome to the show former NBA players Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles from the Knuckleheads podcast. Now, before the break, we saw you guys shooting around, and I want to let you know the OG Scottie Pippen wasn't just talking, because we got some footage of Scottie warming up today. This is not edited, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, baby, this is how I come in.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, glass.
The glass still there, the bank still open?
Yeah, the bank still
open. The bank is always open for that man over there. Quick question for you guys, because you guys are both Chicago. You're Chicago, you East St. Louis. Chicago guys grew up watching this guy.
Absolutely.
What does it mean? What was it like watching Scottie Pippen? What did he mean to y'all as your career becoming players and then when you finally got to the league?
Man, for me growing up, I mean, you know, I'm a homegrown kid. So, I mean, him, Mike, everybody, they was everything. I told you last year when I got to come up here, it was surreal for me to be sitting here with him, man. Growing up, watching him achieve so much and do so much for the city and inspiring all of us. I mean, him along with MJ made me want to put on a jersey and hoop and go emulate him. So, he big time legend for us up here.
Yeah, watching WGN, and we used to watch all 82 games, you know, being in the Midwest. And, you know, my game just kind of went from just being just like Scottie's, playing defense, trying to shoot off the backboard, just everything, and just how chopped he was. He was like a superhero. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can draw Scottie.
You guys want to get in the weight room, chop. And the mic.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear this.
You guys played together. Now I hear you, like, live across the street from each other. Is the love, like, never to be broken here?
Never.
I watch you guys play together.
We brothers, man. It's like the way we came up playing AAU together, it was crazy, and it was a real situation where we got drafted together. So everything was built organically and real, man, and this is something that, to the day we die, man, we bros.
Yeah, I've been knowing Q since I was like 15 years old. He was 2 years older than me, so he always been like a big brother.
Man, that's crazy that y'all knew each other growing up, and then you end up in the NBA on the same team coming out, basically your first NBA experience. Those Clipper teams were really popular, despite y'all didn't go to the playoffs or have deep runs, but some of the most popular teams of that time. Are you surprised by how popular those Clipper teams were?
We were. I mean, I think, you know, when you in it and you going through it and you trying to make your way, you're not really seeing everything that's going on. But little by little, as my career went further and further along, you know, more and more young kids, teammates coming into the league telling me, like, dude, we used to be doing the thing that y'all was doing. You know, different guys you meet and you interact with, and then you realize, like, this kind of was kind of like a countrywide situation that was going on. Then we go back and get brought back to the Clippers, and they kind of acknowledge that era is our era. So it's like, for us, it was kind of surprising and overwhelming, but it's all love, man, and we appreciate the love from everybody remembering that.
Yeah, it's truly a blessing. Like, we appreciate it for it.
It's crazy. I remember that TV show Sideline LA Hoops.
Yeah.
When I was in Phoenix, we cut a clip from that show of Alvin asleep on the plane, because Alvin loved to take naps everywhere. It was one of my favorite shows watching back then. Well, the Clippers right now are currently the third seed in the West, and they've lacked a little bit of consistency. They're different lineups. D-Miles, let me ask you, what should the Clippers look for in the trade deadline to help
fix this team?
I think they need one more big. If they can get one more big to just give them a little bit more size, I think they'll be all right. I think everything else is kind of forming itself with Mo Harkins and all them guys kind of stepping up in the assistant role.
You?
For me, I would agree, like maybe a shot blocking athletic type center, but I think the Darren Collison situation would be interesting to see whether he chooses the Lakers or the Clippers, and I think that'll be impactful to either one of those teams. But I mean, it's a lot of rumors out there with teams like Spencer Dinwiddie could be on the move, Derrick Rose could be on the move to either of the LA teams. So I think those are the things that I think may or may not happen.
Scotty, you think they need to add anything?
I really don't. I would really like to see the Clipper team on the court consistently. You know, this load management and all that, like, I don't really get it. I like to see them make a run. I think if they played and played their players night in and night out, we would see a better Clipper team than what we're seeing now. I think they're kind of winning games on the fly. They're very talented, but they're not playing great basketball. They're not getting on a run like you see with teams like the Lakers, where they can win 10 out of 12 games. They have to keep their personnel on the floor. I think that's the important thing, where they can find some consistency.
All right, moving along. Giannis has been noticing players trying to draw fouls by falling to the ground and flailing in front of them. Here's what Giannis had to say after the game last night. Quote, "It's kind of hard because in the NBA, the way it's built, they want you to flop. It wants you to be weak, kind of, because sometimes I think when you're strong and you're going through contact, they don't call the foul. But when you're flopping and kind of going into the contact and throwing the ball out, they're going to call the foul. But that's not who I am. That's not what I'm going to do." Q, do you agree with Giannis? Does the league want you to flop?
I don't know if I would say they want you to flop, but I would agree with him as far as saying that he's going to be who he is and he's going to go through the contact and continue to attack the rim. But, I mean, I think what you're hearing from him is a little frustration, because I think he's starting to see that some guys are flopping and getting a call against him. But I think he's doing the right thing by saying, "I'm going to continue to attack the rim and do what he's doing."
He's talking about Marcus Smart, right? Like, right. Why are we pretending? Right. He's talking about Marcus Smart. Darius, do you think that's a thing that affects him as far as his game?
I think as a defender, it's a mind game. Sometimes you try to draw a charge. Sometimes you be physical. And I think a lot of teams in the league and defenders in the league is mixing it up with him. They can't just let him continue to just come down and just full court dunk them all the time.
Right. Scotty, is there a difference between flopping, no one touched me and I fell down, and selling the contact? Like, I got hit, but I'm going to extra do it up so the ref sees it.
I think you're seeing a very dominant player in Giannis. Guys are going to try anything on him.
Yep.
He's very difficult to guard. Guys are going to flop. He reminds me a lot like Shaq. He's bringing nothing but force and power. And if you can't withstand it, he's going to go straight through you. So I understand what he's saying, that, you know, he's not hitting guys that hard and officials are buying it. So he's not changing his game.
To me, the only problem I had with his comment is he made it seem like the league today. And I would say LeBron went through this, Shaq went through it, Wilt went through it. Whenever you're a more physical force than everybody else, they try to foul you hard, because if they don't, they know you're going to finish through the contact. But a lot of times refs, for whatever reason, they don't notice. You know?
And, I mean, to be honest, sometimes those type of guys, like you say, the Shaqs, the LeBrons, Giannis, they can be difficult for officials to guard.
Right.
Because, like you say, they're relentless in coming through and going through contact. So sometimes it's hard to tell when you that strong and you going through stuff. Did he really get hit that much? Should I have, you know what I'm saying? So they have to watch that over and try and practice and get used to what he's doing, too.
So the last thing is, you know, Rachel ain't here, I'm here. And when I'm here and we have guests, I see you guys have merch. Got some merch? I got some, you know?
Hey, we got people that can handle that for you.
There you
get
go.
Get you taken care of. You know, behind the scenes, we got you squared away.
Awesome. See, you guys are tremendous, man. Darius Clinton, thank you for stopping by. Coming up, who are the best trash talkers in the NBA today? Real quick, who y'all got the best trash talk in the NBA?
I like Joel Embiid. I like the way he get in people's heads, and he pretty much back it up.
Yeah, I like Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler.
Scotty, we're going to wait on your answer
after the break.
Oh, you got a good one.
Please wait. Let me preface it. It's not as real as it used to be, but if we had the truth today, that's where I'm going.
Fighter in the history of sport.
wait for that. Watch SportsCenter at 6 Eastern after PTI with Sage and Zubin Mehenti. We'll have Titans, Chiefs, and Packers, Niners picks by our NFL experts, SportsCenter, on ESPN and on the app. Our NBA Friday doubleheader tips off at 7 Eastern tonight with the Bulls and the Sixers. Then we take you to Dallas, where Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks host the Portland Trailblazers right here on ESPN and again on the ESPN app. All right, welcome back to Nick Friedell. Thanks again for sticking around. For our next discussion, let's watch this piece from Outside the Lines on how trash talking has evolved from the basketball court to social media. Take a look.
There's not too many teams that will honestly admit that they don't like each other. These two teams do not like each other.
One thing about trash talk is it just happens. Boom, you say something, boom, it's right there.
Chasing that farewell tour, they don't love you like that. You can't get no farewell tour, they don't love you like that.
Well, at first when it happened, I didn't even hear it live.
You ain't got that type of love. You thought you was coming?
I didn't even see it until maybe after the game or when I got on social media, and then they gave me a chance to, you know, respond. When a shot is taken, you got to be prepared for a shot to be thrown back at you.
Peyton and Jordan now drawn at each other in midcourt.
We're not worried about the Sacramento Queens.
Forehead to forehead.
Like dribbling, like shooting, trash talking has always been a part of the NBA. But with the explosion of social media, the trash has moved from the court to the World Wide Web.
I don't think I'm talking trash this year.
Social media changed trash talking a lot of ways. Now you can just press send and all of a sudden disseminate your message to the public.
Kevin Durant may not be on the court, but he continues to make news, especially on social media.
If we see something in the moment, we can put it on the internet for the world to see. That wasn't the case when Scottie Pippen was stepping over Patrick Ewing after the dunk. We watched it, but we couldn't react to it on the internet.
Twitter launched way back in 2006, but it would take time for it to affect the way trash is talked.
The Houston Rockets defeat the Dallas Mavericks and they advance to the second round.
The first one that stands out is back in April of 2015 when the Rockets' main verified Twitter account put an emoji of a horse with a gun facing it and said, it'll all be over soon.
Houston Rockets social media director fired for his tweet last night. Missed its-
Little did he know he was kind of setting the tone for what the next 5 years of discourse on social media would look like. Twitter became this place that you could simply put two emojis up there and the whole world would know your true and honest feelings.
In 2017, one incident in particular caught the league's attention.
He jabbed at Parsons, and he misses badly out of bounds.
You know I love Twitter beef. The Trailblazers Twitter account made fun of this Chandler Parsons airball Friday night. Chandler then responded, good luck in the lottery show this year. CJ McCollum fired back at Parsons with, we hit the lottery by not signing you. And look,
so seeing this go down, the NBA wanted to say, let's get out in front of this before some of our A-list stars start doing the same things and jeopardizing the product.
The NBA cracking down on team social media accounts. The league issued a memo, and this was a result of the Chandler...
The mid-season memo would prohibit official team accounts from disparaging, mimicking, or criticizing opponents or officials.
When I trash talk the player, you know, it was between me and him. So now when you trash talk a player, the fans, they can trash talk you through your social media outlets. They can tell you how they feel about you, and it's right there in your pocket.
What players are now doing on social media is actually taking their disdain for their current situation and tweeting about it.
Eric Bledsoe tweeted to the world that I don't want to be here. It was right in the middle of huge trade discussions involving him. He trash-talked to his own team into getting traded to a championship contender. That's one of the most successful trash-talking instances in sports history.
if you have to think about the trash talkers of this day and age, most of those guys do it through social media.
It connects players to players, fans to players. It's an open mic session, but everybody has a microphone.
Scotty, who's the best trash talker in the league today?
Well, I would probably say Westbrook. Yeah. I think he displays a lot of trash talking, a lot of antics. I know the league doesn't allow a lot of talking out on the basketball court, but he has a way of getting in the guy's head. And the fact that he's controlling the ball for most of the game, he normally wins.
The other night we heard him tell Damian Lillard, a foul is a bucket. And Damian Lillard responded on Twitter later, LOL, because, of course, Blazers won the game. Who's your pick, Nick?
It's got to be Draymond.
Yeah.
There is nothing funnier to me, guys.
Draymond's not talking too much trash.
Not this year. Not this year. He's on hiatus for the moment. But there is nothing funnier to me than when an opposing bench is daring Draymond to shoot a three from somewhere. Draymond hits it and instantly turns around and starts firing away at the other guys. So I've seen that lots. He doesn't do it as much right now, but he'll be back when it matters most. And most importantly, he can get in the guys' heads. And he can check them out from playing at their best.
I thought Q and D. Miles had a good suggestion with Joel Embiid because he does it on both the internet and also in person, as does Jimmy Butler. But I'm going to give you guys someone to keep an eye on for the next few years. Ja Morant talks a lot of trash. And it's funny because obviously it's nice because he backs it up.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I saw his first game down in Miami, the season opener, and I'm watching. I'm like, is he talking? And I thought at first he was talking like, come on, guys, let's go. And I'm like, no, he's talking. He's talking to people. And so that's been a funny thing. But we see Jimmy Butler the other day with T.J. Warren blowing kisses. Luka Doncic is another one. I've seen Luka Doncic talk trash to his own bench. He slapped assistant coach Jamal Mosley. So
when you're that good, you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. So, Scotty, speaking of trash talking, you weren't much of a talker, but there were a couple of instances in your career that are really memorable. Ooh, there
was one moment where I was able to stand on a few people's head, step over, whatever you
But then you talked to Spike Lee afterward. What were y'all talking about?
It was kind of that little moment where Spike kind of like, he wasn't my hero then, you know. He was my hero for a long time, watching about them Knicks sidelines and things. But when he came into my house and was talking trash, I just told him. Take a seat.
Take a seat. What about in 1997? This is to me, this is one of the most famous ones of all time. In the finals, Carmelo's at the free throw line. It was a Sunday. What did you say?
Well, this is an easy one. I had my brother in town. My brother was a postman.
Uh-huh.
So Carmelo is at the line. The game is on the line. And I was pretty good friends with Carl, actually. So I just walked by him and said, the mailman don't deliver on Sunday. And to this day, I think that's the greatest line in basketball.
There
would never be another mailman.
Absolutely. I'm not going to argue. I just want to know, was that my cousins are in the music industry. And so there's some things that come on top of the head, and then there's some things that are pre-written. Was that a pre-written line?
Off the top of my head.
You went freestyle.
That was a big game.
It was the finals.
That game.
When you said it, did you know you had gotten to him right away?
Not till after he bricked them.
All right, coming up, who's more likely to make the All-Star game, Ben Simmons or Zach LaVine? But first, time for our second distant replay of the day. This one is from this date on 2009. Gerald Wallace, the greatest Hornet ever, or Bobcat ever.
To Wallace. He one-hands it down. Wow.
Who threw that lob?
And that's the fifth foul on Oden. And Gerald Wallace.
I can't even see. Is that Ray Felton that threw the lob?
Wow.
We need a
Wallace in the house.
He is this Charlotte team.
Wow, Bo. Our NBA Saturday games on ABC and the ESPN app begin this week with Clippers and Pelicans at 3:30 Eastern. Then in our primetime game at 8:30 Eastern, LeBron and the Lakers take on the Rockets. Guess what? The Jump will be their courtside in Houston to preview the big game. Join Rachel, Mike Wilbon, and Scottie Pippen right here, and Paul Pierce, and also the highest in the room, Travis Scott. Am I allowed to say it on TV? I don't know. Live at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's crunch time here on The Jump. Nick. If AD doesn't play tomorrow, should the Rockets be favored at home?
Yes, they should. And if he's not ready, I mean, he shouldn't play. I had so many questions about the Lakers, AD, LeBron playing at this level, the depth. They've answered them all in the first half. But shout out quickly to Dwight.
Yeah,
I did not think Dwight could play at the level he's been playing. Dwight is playing at that level. There's no reason to rush AD back at all with him playing like that.
Scotty, you feel the same way?
They should win, but that makes LeBron that much more tougher when AD doesn't play, because now he gets everybody involved. But Houston should win the game. But it should be a very good game.
All right. With a couple of games on our ESPN slate tonight, it's time for another edition of Jump Ball. Yeah, we like basketball puns. All right, first of all, Ben Simmons or Zach LaVine? Both players are having strong seasons and making a push for the All-Star team. Currently, LaVine is 6th in fan voting for guards and Simmons is 8th. Scotty, who's the more likely All-Star, Simmons or LaVine?
I'm going to probably go with LaVine.
Really?
All-Star game being in Chicago. He's having a great season. I think he's been averaging about 30 points the last month. So he's probably going to get the nod. Ben still has to add a few more pieces to this game for All-Star.
Now, Nick, remember, this is the coaches who are going to be picking the reserves. Do you have LaVine or do you have Simmons?
Simmons. And here's why. Historically, guys, when you have a bunch of players who are about equal stats-wise, the benefit of the doubt always goes to the player who's on a winning team. And Zach has put up some nice numbers, but you've put Ben Simmons on the Bulls, he'd rack up a triple-double damn near every night. There's just not a lot of talent on the Bulls. So if it's me, I think Simmons gets the nod because the Sixers have had a lot more success this year.
All right. Next up, who's harder to guard, Damian Lillard or Luka Doncic? Lillard is currently 7th in the league in scoring at 26.8 points per game. Luka is 4th with 28.8 points per game. All right, these two are going to face off tonight, obviously, on ESPN. Nick, who's harder to guard, Dame or Luka?
It's Dame. Maybe over time it's Luka, and with the plays he's been making recently, he's going to get all the praise for the rest of his career. Damian Lillard has hit bigger shots in bigger moments, and he's the guy I'm trusting right now.
Who you got, Scotty?
I'm going to go against him. I'm going to say Luka.
Oh, wow.
I think Luka beats you in so many ways. Dame can beat you with his scoring, but I think Luka beats you in a lot of different ways. Getting into your paint, being able to create, being able to make plays for other people. He's a big guy, so double-teaming him doesn't help you. And I see going down stretch of the games, he's a guy that you can't afford to double-team.
This is what I like about this question. There is no right answer. Just watch the game and we're going to have fun. All right, our League Pass game of the night is Heat versus Thunder, 8 p.m. Eastern. These are two teams that were rumored to be trade partners before the season started. However, the Thunder have surprised many people with a strong season, even though they've dropped two of their last three. Nick, take a look at the Heat's notable trade assets. Do you think they should be aggressive at the trade deadline or keep their flexibility moving forward? Remember, they want to be in the Giannis sweepstakes in 2021.
If you can get Bradley Beal, go for it. Make something happen. But, Scotty, you and I have had this debate for years. Can Jimmy Butler be the number one guy on a title contender moving forward?
I think that he can. And I think this Miami Heat team is set up very well for Jimmy Butler to have success. His leadership is already being displayed at a very high level. So I believe that he can.
He was right all along, Nick. See, you were doubting him when you covered him in Chicago and Minnesota.
Wait a minute. We're halfway through the first season.
Jimmy,
talk to me in about 4 or 5 months.
Keep winning, Jim.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Scotty. Thanks to the Knuckleheads, D-Miles, and Craig Richardson for joining me today. Rachel's in Houston.